you can go ahead and sit down. Praise God. Sometimes you just have to stir yourself up on a rainy Wednesday afternoon. Come on now. I know that your couch, your big recliner or whatever else it is you sit in, we're just telling you just to lay still. There's no use going tonight. It's Wednesday night. It's, you know, ain't nobody going to be there no way. Everybody's gone on vacation. They'll think you just gone on vacation too. But we're not on vacation. God's not on vacation. We're here to worship Him. Amen? Praise God. All right, go with me to John chapter 16, verse 33. Very familiar scripture, but I want to go there first. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you," this is Jesus talking now, "that in me," see, you need to get that "in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now that's a very familiar scripture, but I want to just kind of go from a different point as I meditated on what the Lord might want me to talk about. Tonight I'm talking about a reason to stay. And when I'm talking about a reason to stay, I'm just talking about a reason to stay with it. Right? Remember Brother Damon first started coming, one of the things he'd say, stay with it. And see, we've got to stay with God no matter what. What Jesus just told us is this. Jesus said that in this world, in this life, you are going to have some trouble. I don't know, sometimes Christians get, and especially us Word of Faith people, we kind of get over to that place we think we're never going to have any trouble. Now, you know, I know that we're faith people. I know we believe God people. But I also understand and know that there's a real devil out there. And he's going to try to hit you with trouble. And you can say whatever you want to say about that, but I don't think any of us are better than Jesus. Come on, I don't think any of us are better than Paul. We're going to look at him in a few minutes. Jesus, you say, well, not what Jesus go? Listen, every turn way he turned, they were trying to kill him. I would call that trouble, wouldn't you? Come on now. So we're in this world. Jesus says you're going to have trouble, but he says be of good cheer. You see, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, you know, no matter what you're going through in this life, you have to begin to look at God and say, God, it don't matter what I'm going through. You've already been through it for me, and I'm a winner no matter what. So you have to bring yourself to that place. The world will not do it. Matter of fact, when you start having trouble, the world will just kind of beat you on down. Can I tell the truth about it? A lot of Christians will try to beat you on down. Come on, you have to lift yourself up with the Word of God and begin to get over into the cheer side. Be of good cheer, right? It don't matter what's happening. I still got to keep my attitude that God has got my back in all of it. No matter what's going on. And so I've got, you might as well put a smile on your face. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but I know that Jesus went through it for you so that you could make it. Come on, this is not the end. And see, that's what happens a lot of times is folks, they get so focused on the now moment that they forget about what's out in front of them. Come on now. You can't let what you're going through right now affect your future. If you do, you're in trouble. Amen. Yet I'm not denying that you're not going through something or maybe you just went through something or whatever's going on. But here's what you've got to realize. You can't let that define the rest of your life. Come on, see, you look around and you see folks that do that kind of thing. I mean, you go by a cemetery and you can kind of find out where something that's happened in somebody's life has still got an impact on them. It's still holding them. It's still got them. They're still back here in the past. They've not been able to move past that. Right? You go to cemeteries and you see, you know, shrines built to somebody that passed. Well, you know, I know that you loved them, but you know what? They're gone now and they would want you to go on with your life. Come on now. You know something happened to me. I don't want Pastorette to mourn for me the rest of her days. I want her to find her another man that'll take care of her as good as I did and have her live the rest of her life happy. Now, I'm not sure she has had a torn tooth, but that's the truth. You know, because this life is short anyway. And if you spend it looking at things that have happened in your life and you're living in that moment, then you can never move on to all the good moments that God has in front of you. Just say to yourself, it's not over. I've got the rest of my life in front of me. And see, that's what you have to look at. There's no place to quit in this thing. We have to stay here. Jesus, because you're having trouble, then you're on the wrong track. Your finances have taken a hit. And you're whispering, you're saying, just blessing in money. Come, because he said, I'll remove you from the enemy just because you were the tithing giver. Praise God. You just stay on track on what you're going through right now. And that's who God is. No, God can't lie. And so, both of you do, and things, if you're having some trouble, things look like in the 80s, right? But just look like it's about to ask yourself, have they really got God in their life? And you have to look more than you can have. That's chasing after other things. Remember, Jesus told our Lord, God, the lust of other things will choke the word out of you. And so you have to keep yourself focused on God, focused on the Word, no matter what you're going through. Don't let what you're going through get you on track, off track. Don't be on the wrong track. You know, you start looking at the Word of God here, that's of Jesus. I mean, that's just my opinion. You most likely would have been walking pretty close to God if God's trusting. Looking at his mind, I want to read your 2 Corinthians. It's for all those kind of things that just a little bit aggravated, and that's because they're allowing other people to come in and say, you know, and maybe even shut down Paul. I'm not sure about that. I can start to learn 11. Look down here around verse. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death off of the Jews 5 times. They tell us through history and tradition and just coming theologians talk about it. They say that the Romans were so accurate with her so much that 40 stripes will kill human being. If we all, they put in 39 stripes. Now, I'm just talking about Paul, you know, the apostle. Paul tells some of the things that happened to him. So he says, you know, 5 times, which is 39. He says, thrice would I beat with rods. If you remember what I'm beating with rods. Beating your back, that would raise up your feet up here and then beat your feet with rods. And he was beating with rods. That's not hard on the walking hills. I'm going to need to walk where he went. Well, I don't know. Unless he could shut somewhere. He says, 3 times that happened to me. Now, I'm just in my mind. You have time to just think. It's like one of us, a human being that had been fornication for God, fulfilling his command from God. I can act with 39 stripes. Maybe the thought comes to be mine. Let's look at the inside now. I'm going to pose my feet. But if you start looking at the 3 times with rod on your feet, you go off. You're prepared to preach. I'll preach. Come on. See, I'm a little on. Right? This little thing, maybe we'll ask if somebody says about the ground. You know, people in your own parking lot. That's a bad thing. Can't get go better now. So let me get back to where I was at here. Thrice was I beat with rods. Once was I stoned. Remember, they stoned Paul, left him for dead. They thought they had killed him. Once was I stoned. Thrice, 3 times, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in pearls of water, in pearls of robber, in pearls of mine own countrymen, in pearls by the heathen, in pearls in the city, in pearls in the wilderness, in pearls in the sea, in pearls among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. It's kind of amazing Paul left the churches at the end. Isn't it? I mean, he's going through all that, and then he said, besides that, I got to take care of all the churches. Sounded like taking care of the churches was a big deal. It was. You see, so I want you to see all that. I want you to look at that. And the reason I wanted to read all that was so that the next time you're having some trouble, you can look at Paul and say, you know, I ain't gone through nothing. That Paul, you know, a lot of times folks say, well, I ain't went through nothing what Jesus went through. And that's true. He was crucified for us. But, you know, Paul went through a whole lot so that the gospel could get spread. Amen. He was willing to suffer all that just so he could tell somebody else that Jesus loved them and died for them. And we can't hardly stay in one church long enough to be able to stay there to get just rooted in. We'll hear something, the preacher, I'll say something if it's here, and make people mad, and they'll go. They'll leave. Come on now. See, so you go, really, Christians are going to have to toughen up. We're going to have to get tough because I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. And you know, should Jesus tarry, there are going to be some things going on that might make some folks that are just kind of going through the motions turn and run. But those that are the true children of God, those that have committed themselves to Him, they're going to hang tough. You know, they're not the once a monthers or the once a ever time of year, whatever. They're the people that are here, don't matter whether it's raining outside or it's cold outside. They're here Wednesday, they're here Sunday, they're windy, they're Sunday. And if we have something special, they're here. That's people that are committed, you see. And so we need to be that committed to God to make sure that we're there at all times. We're not getting our little feelings hurt and running off and quitting. You know, most folk get mad at people in the church and quit God. And He never done anything to them. Right? They get mad about, you know, well, I'm just mad at God because this. I know folks, I know preachers that got mad at God because one of their family members died. Well, the Bible plainly says it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So they're mad at the wrong dude. Right? They shouldn't be mad at God. They need to be mad at the devil. But it's a funny thing. The devil does something to them and they run right into his arms and start drinking and cussing and carrying. Right? Run back into that lifestyle. You know, if you're smart enough to be able to read the Bible and see that the enemy is the one that causes these things, you ought to be running to God and rejoicing with Him. Drink you some new wine. Come on, get healed up. Let the Holy Ghost heal you up. Let God hug you up and heal you up and get you on path so you can live the rest of your life. See, because that killing is also part of the destroying. And, you know, one may get killed, but then it'll destroy a whole bunch of others. And so we got to make sure here with Paul, he's going through all this. And if anybody had a reason to give up, it would have been him. But he just kept right on going. I'm glad he kept on going because we look at Paul, we understand, listen, this man went through all this for us. Amen. Because the gospel needed to be preached. Another play, Acts 27:28. Good, another great example of Paul. I want to use him because, man, he just went through it. Remember in Acts chapter 27, Paul is being taken to see Caesar. And they're getting ready to put him on a ship. Because they think it's going to be smooth sailing. And Paul looks at him and says, listen now guys, I'm getting something here from the Holy Ghost. I perceive that this trip is going to be with much danger and maybe even the loss of the ship and losing their lives. And so the guy that the prison, the one that had them, the soldier that had them captive there, that was taking them, escorting them to Caesar, talks to the guy that owns the ship, and the guy on the ship convinces him everything's going to be okay. They get out there, they're sailing, everything looks good, and then all of a sudden they run into the hurricane, Euroclydon. And I mean, now they're in trouble. I mean, he knows, you know, it's over. Matter of fact, Luke writing, at one point he says, and all hope that we should be saved was lost. They're taking off the tackling of the ship. They're trying to get everything off the ship. They're just trying. And Paul is back there talking to God. Think about that. Everybody else worried for their lives. Paul's talking to God. And when he comes out, he looks at him and he says, be of good cheer. You know, right in the middle of a storm, a hurricane. And he's telling them to be of good cheer. And he begins to tell them, listen, I talked to an angel last night. And that angel came from God, the God I serve. And he told me everything's going to be all right and all our lives are going to be spared. And he said, I believe God. It'll be just like he said. And then he told me to get you a little bite to eat. We're going to lose the ship. You know, it's not all going to be without trouble. But God's going to take care of us. And some of them got scared and wanted to let down the ship and try to get away. And Paul told them, he said, if they go down, then people will die. If everybody stays on the ship, everybody will live. And of course, they run the thing aground and it tore the ship up and some couldn't swim. And so they let them all go and some of them got on boards and whatever. And they made it over to this island. Every person lived. And while they're there, it's cold, it's wet. The natives there met them, and they were taking care of them, helping them. They had a fire built for them. And Paul's there, and he walks over to get some more wood to put on the fire. And when he gets a hold of the wood to put on the fire, a poisonous viper reaches out and latches onto him. As if he's not already been through enough. I'm trying to show you, you can go through trouble and still be on the right track. Paul walks over, shakes off the serpent into the fire, and all the Bible calls them barbarians, but all the native people, they're looking at him, the ones that saw it, and they said, man, this guy must be a murderer, because he's escaped the seas, but the snake got him. He's not going to get to live. He's going to die anyway. He may escape the sea, but he's going to die anyway. And they keep watching him, and he never does swell up. He never does get sick. He's still going on. And they keep looking at him, and they decide, you know what? Maybe this guy is a god. See, his witness, his faith, not to get... I mean, you know, wouldn't you really, I mean, come on, think about it. You just escaped this shipwreck, hurricane, you washed ashore, you know, and finally somebody's helping you a little bit, and you walk over to get you a little fire just to keep warm, and a snake reaches out. Wouldn't you kind of just like, really, God? Come on, is anybody different than me? You know, just like, really? Come on! You know, I mean, you know, but not Paul. He just shook it off and just kept right on doing what he was doing. You see, when they saw that, what they saw was his faith. That he's sticking with God, don't matter if a snake bites him or not. He's just survived a shipwreck. And now all of a sudden their minds change. If he's not a murderer, then he's bound to be a god himself. And the Bible says then that a chief guy on that island made friends with Paul, and his father was sick, and he had Paul come in. Paul came in, prayed for him, healed him, and then people that were sick on the island came, and he healed them. Now see, I want you to notice something. He had Luke the physician with him. Luke's the one writing here in Acts. You'll see it when he includes, he didn't write it all, but when he includes himself with this, and he was, all hope that we should be saved was lost. So he's with them. Paul didn't call for Luke the physician and say, well, why don't you go see what you can do for those people? He trusted his God. Because he knew that even though he had been a shipwreck, even though that he had been washed up on that, bitten by that serpent, he's still going to believe God because he was on a mission. God had told him, you're going to appear before Caesar. And he believed God. You see, that's the trouble with us a lot of times. We're not believing God for the long run. We're not believing Him for the whole picture. We're just looking at our current situation. And sometimes our current situation can get a little bit crazy. Even though you're doing everything you know to do for God, you're praying, you're believing, you're giving, you're doing all, you know, it can still get a little crazy sometimes. But you have to see the whole picture, that God has not left you. He's not forsaking you. He's still working all things together for good for you. You have to see that. If you don't see that, then you'd be tempted to quit. Well, if this is the way it's going to be serving God, then I'm just not going to serve God. Other people not having this kind of trouble, that's because they're not serving God. The devil loves to cause trouble with people that serve God. Come on, if you're a tither and a giver, he loves to try to attack your finances. Come on, if you believe in God for your healing, he loves to try to hit you with some kind of sickness. Right? He wants to try to destroy your testimony. But see, one of the greatest testimonies you can ever give is right in the middle of that storm, whether it's finances or whether it's sickness and disease or whatever it is, right in the middle of that storm and say, I believe God. I believe in God. Remember, that's what Paul said in the middle of that ship. I believe God. And what you're giving them is a testimony that you still trust God no matter what the sickness is, no matter what the financial situation is, you still believe God. You see, that's showing them your faith, and they're seeing that, and they understand that they're not there. And maybe it'll challenge them to either get saved, or if they are saved, challenge them to move on up and say, you know what, maybe I ought to start believing God just a little bit more. Right? We've got to stay in faith no matter what it is that we're going through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you want to back up there, we're right there in 11. Let's back up just a little bit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks a little bit about staying in faith here. Listen what he says in verse 13. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, Paul's quoting David there, and he's talking about the fact that that's what faith is. We believe and speak out. And all of us that do that, then we all have that same spirit of faith. But notice what he goes on and says. We do this knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now look, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What did Paul just say? For this light affliction? Are you kidding me? All he went through was just a light affliction, he said. You know why? Because he never took his eyes off God. And no matter how long he was going through that, he considered it temporary compared to eternity. And notice he's talking about the things, not the things that he saw, but the things that were not seen. You see, here's the thing about us. We've got to stay in faith. Here's something I wrote down. The actions that you take now based on temporary troubles or emotional feelings can have far-reaching effects on things you can't see now. See, because things happen. People get emotional. Things, maybe something happens. There's a conflict or whatever, you know. And people just get mad and whatever. But let me ask you something. What happens if you stop coming to church? What happens? Who will it affect? You think, well, this is me. I'm just for me. No. You don't understand. It's more than just you. Because whether you know it or not, your life affects many, many people around you. Amen. It's true. You may not know it, but there are people watching your life right now as you walk out your walk with Christ Jesus. They're seeing if you're going to stay strong when you have trouble. They're going to see if you run and get mad or whatever. See, it affects other people what you do. And see, here's what happens. Because it's emotional things and there's things going on, a lot of times, even in a family, see, this is the way the enemy works. Even in a family, maybe the husband and wife's having some troubles. Maybe the things aren't going the way that they ought to, you know, I mean, as far as their relationship and that kind of thing. What the devil will do is the devil will try to get one of them to look at their current situation and say, I'm not going to live like this the rest of my life. And cause them to want to step out, have an affair, whatever you want to call it, commit fornication, whatever you want to call it, cause them to do that because of that little situation that's going through. That is temporary, if you want to repair it. Don't get mad at me now. If they want to work it, work it. But both of them's got to want to work it. Come on. You can't have, but just over little things. And what's not thought of, see, they're just thinking of this is me and my happiness. But what about the kids? What about the families on both sides? Come on. See, it causes all kinds of different things. I've been involved in different situations where you have this awkwardness because of the mixed family. Can anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you're with this, you know, you're here with this person or this person, and then their ex-spouse and their ex-family. I mean, it just, after a while, you just don't know who to say hi to. You know, because they're still mad and they're still mad and they still got this problem. All over that one decision to step out. And sometimes over nothing, just looking for an excuse to. Amen. And so we have to be careful that no matter what it is, that we stay in faith with God and we don't allow that enemy to tempt us with something to cause us to walk away. Some folks' life are made shipwreck once they walk away from God. A lot of folks' lives are, really. Because you can see them down the road. And just because somebody... Listen, because somebody looks happy on Facebook, don't believe that. I know a couple one time that were you know, they were separated and whatever, and they got back together and stuff, and they was taking pictures. They went somewhere and taking pictures, you know, and stuff, and it looked like everything was great, you know, smiling in the car, doing selfies. But things weren't great. And the comment was, well, everything looks good on Facebook. And it's true. You can make it look however you want to on Facebook, but where is your heart? I mean, come on, you guys know well as I do. If we had the holiness here in this church that some of the people that never go to church has on Facebook, and the power of prayer like they have. You know what I'm talking about, right? No matter what the situation is, all we're praying. I haven't seen you in the church to talk to God, but you're praying. Right? You know, they're quick to judge somebody else or what are you doing? But they don't go to church. But man, are they holy on Facebook? When they're talking, just my goodness, you'd just think they just stepped out of glory. Now, see, you can't pay any attention to those things. What you have to do is know where you're at. Know where you're standing with God, because no matter what they're doing, no matter how it looks, and see, that's things that happen that the enemy uses those things, you know. Well, they don't go to church and look to me like they've done this and this and that, and that, you know. It looks that way to you. Come on. That's one of the reasons that pornography has destroyed so many marriages. Because it's not real. It's not real. But see, the enemy will cause people to think it's real. You know, because my wife won't do that. My husband won't do that. Well, that's right. They won't, because they're not getting paid to.
That's right.
It's not real. But see, the devil wants to paint it real, and it causes problems. And see, you just got to be who you are. You can't look at stuff, watch movies, and see all the romance that goes on in movies and that kind of thing. You know, folks hooked up on The Days of Our Lives and all that stuff, the soap operas and all. Is Days of Our Lives even on anymore? Slop operas, I like it. I don't know. I don't know if that's, but you know, it went on for years and years and years, and people couldn't just wait to watch that stuff, you know. Was it Stefano or whatever his name? He died 3 or 4 times back in my era. I don't know. He'd die and here all of a sudden he's back, you know. But that's because it ain't real. It's not real. And so sometimes even things that are on for young kids are displayed to be this is better and this is better. And you know, right now Disney's on the move to try to tell kids that, you know, about their gender and all this stuff. And all this stuff ain't real, but they're portraying it as real to try to get at their minds and get them to do something. And the same thing, the devil's trying to do it to us all. You know, they're trying to tell us, you know, that we're bad because we don't believe in transsexuals and we don't believe in homosexuality. We don't believe we're the bad ones. That's what they want to portray, even on TV. I saw a commercial that was so awesome this morning, and it started out, and I almost got mad because it started out. Oh, look, she has a fetus. And the mother sits down with the husband and said, "You want to feel the fetus?" And the little girl comes in, "Honey, do you want to feel the fetus?" And I'm mad at this time, okay? Because I'm thinking, here we go again. The little girl pops up and says, "It's a baby. It's a real baby." And it was from Focus on the Family, just because they were going against it. And I thought, man, thank you. Yeah, I actually said it out loud because I was at the point of getting mad. Because I thought they was going to do some kind of gender thing. And that's what they was trying to portray, though. Because the world wants you to think that that's a nobody there.
Right.
It's not a life. It's not a person. It's a fetus. But the minute that heart starts beating, it's a life.
Right.
It's somebody that God has already named. That He knew before He placed in the womb. I don't care what the world says. And so what you have to do, no matter what all this craziness is, you still got to remain firm with God. Don't get caught up in all their tricks and their traps and all that stuff. Stay with the Word of God and you'll never go wrong. It'll keep you tied. So we see some of this stuff going. I don't know how I kind of got over in that, but I wanted to see the effects of things. You know, when you allow temporary things to control you, your faith won't be in control anymore. Think about that one for a minute. I'm just sitting here, just kind of meditating over what God gave me and write some things down when He gives it to me. But think about that. If you don't take control of the temporary thing, then your faith won't be able to work, because that's what's going to control you. You can't speak faith and you're letting this mess with you. You've got to stay in faith and command that thing to stop in its operation. And command it to do it now. Well, what if it don't stop? You just stand on it and say, I thank you, Lord, that it's a done deal. Don't believe what you see. Believe what you've spoke out according to the Word of God. Because your eyes can deceive you. There's a great deception going on because what we see on TV is not what's really happening in our world. There's a lot more going on that we're not being shown. And so we have to make sure that we're staying in faith in the Word of God so that no matter what happens in the world, when Jesus comes in the eastern sky, I'm going with Him. What about you? I'm going to be ready. I'm going to go. So, you know, Jesus came that we might have abundant life, but that doesn't mean that we won't have some trouble. Right? It don't mean that. Because you've got to remember, I said it a minute ago, there is a real devil. A real devil. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy, and we'll close out here just in a minute. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Talking about everything he's been through. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Isn't that awesome? I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. That's the attitude, church, we got to have. Sure, you'll go through some things, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I don't want you thinking negatively now. I just want to, because sometimes things take people by surprise and they're like, oh, I didn't think that would happen if I was following God. Yes, things are going to happen. But you have to look back and see what Paul said. I believe that what I've committed to him, he's able to keep. God is on our side. And as long as God is on our side, we will be overcomers and we will have the victory because he's already given us that. Amen? All right, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord God, your word declares to us and shows us that in this world, because of the wickedness, because there's a real devil in control of the world system, that we will have trouble in this earth. But I thank you, Father God, that Jesus overcame this world. And so through and by the blood of Jesus, we also are overcomers. I just ask you that you help us now, Father God, to remind ourselves that we have the Holy Spirit in us, that no matter what's going on in the world, still we have the greater one on the inside of us. So, Father, help us now, Lord, when we get negative, when we get aggravated, when we get emotional, when we run into trouble, help us always to look up to you, Father God, from where our help comes. And we just give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody need us to pray with you or believe God with you tonight? All right, lift up your hands. Father, thank you once again for this people. I bless them again in the name of Jesus. Declare them blessed again in the name of Jesus. Now I speak supernatural protection over them as they return to their homes. I thank you, Lord, that the angels of the Lord encamped round about them. And I just give you praise for them. They are blessed in Jesus' name. Everybody receives that. Say amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you Sunday morning. Don't nobody go on vacation this week, okay? I'm only kidding.